And whenever I teach this kind of unpleasant reality, there's always someone who contacts me afterwards and accuses me of exalting Satan's power above the power of God. And they'll say something like, you know, come on, Daniel. I mean, if Satan had the kind of power you're saying he does, then most of the Christians in the world will be walking under his influence right now. Where is the power of God in all this? Where, you know, is Satan stronger than God or what? So just in case anyone's thinking that, let me answer you right here now. I'll save the trouble of emailing me with my own question, all right, which is, how do you know most of today's Christians aren't walking under the influence of Satan? How do you know they're not? Like I said, I'm not talking about Christians being demon-possessed. I'm not even talking about Christians, quote, having a demon at this point, an indwelling demon, right? I'm still talking about what these spirits are capable of doing to us from the outside. Yeah, I'm talking about Christians walking under the influence of Satan or unclean spirits, either directly through his influence on their minds or indirectly through the influence of other people who are walking under his influence. I'm talking about Christians, for instance, who are selfish. Do you know any selfish Christians? If you do, then you know Christians who are walking under the power and influence of Satan. I'm talking about people who listen to preachers like John MacArthur, and as a result, they don't check their thoughts. They don't bother checking their thoughts, because they just assume that their thoughts are coming from God because, what, they're a Christian, right? Do you know anybody like that? Well, if you do, then you know Christians who are walking under the influence of Satan. I guarantee you. They're not possessed. Maybe they don't have a demon, but they're walking under his influence. Of course, Satan is not stronger than God. Satan was created by God. And through Jesus, even we have the power to defeat Satan, right? Even us little piles of dust can defeat him. Him being too powerful isn't the problem. The problem is getting Christians to accept the truth that there's a war going on and they have an enemy who can actually kill them. See? That's the problem. We've already been given plenty of power to win this war. Plenty of power. The problem isn't a lack of power. The problem is God's people hate the truth. That's the problem. God's people hate the truth. Therefore, the unpleasant reality is, yes, most of today's Christians are walking under the influence of Satan to some degree. Some degree. They don't realize they are because they don't think such a thing is even possible. They also don't realize they are because walking under Satan's influence externally is not the same as being demon-possessed. It's not the same as even having a demon. It can be very subtle, and also it can be very comfortable. Very comfortable, that's right. Many Christians are comfortable walking under the influence of these spirits because it seems perfectly normal to them. It's what they're used to. Okay? Their heads aren't spinning around, spitting out green pea soup. They're not hanging from the ceiling. Okay? It's a very natural thing that happens. Okay, now, that doesn't mean, I am not saying, okay, that they're not genuine believers. I'm not saying they're on the way to hell. I'm not saying they're not saved, okay? But what it does mean is they're never going to get complete victory, unless they have their eyes open and they change the way they walk. What it does mean is they're never going to be overcomers, unless they accept the truth of what's happening, get into the battle, and start defeating their enemies. Okay? Now let's look at the second avenue for a few minutes here. The second avenue these spirits use is our desires, both good and evil. Unclean spirits can stir up evil desires that are already present in us. That should not be something hard to understand for most people. But there is a big difference. You see, there's a big difference between when a desire of our flesh rises up in us, when that same desire is being inflamed and stroked by a spirit. Okay? Though the desires of the flesh can be very strong, when a spirit is inflaming them, you can't ignore them. You've got to either fight that thing until it subsides, or you're going to give in. There's no other way around it. The battle's going to go on for about 10 minutes, and it'll be over. Either you lost or you won. All right? That's not the same way as the flesh. Okay? The flesh isn't that strong. Also, many times these spirits, they'll stir up a desire that you have had a problem with in the past, but have managed to overcome. And have been walking in victory over for a time. Okay? Through the spirit. And they like to pick on these desires and stir up these kind of desires for two reasons. First of all, they know that you're prone to follow that one because you had a problem with it, right? So you're more prone to follow that one than you are some other one. But second, and more importantly, they know that when they do this, we get discouraged. Sometimes we get very, very discouraged. And that's exactly what they're after, see? What these spirits want is they're trying to get us to a place where we're ready to give up and give in. Just give up the fight. That's what their aim is. Because once you give up, they start really getting involved in your life. They started dwelling you, and at the end, they can even possess you. You lose your salvation, you get possessed, all right? And discouragement comes because, you know, we thought we had that thing conquered. This particular issue, we thought we had it conquered. And now here is again, after all these months, or maybe years, raising its ugly head and tempting us so strongly that we're ready to give into it again. See, if you're a Christian who's trying to walk in holiness and victory, that kind of thing can be very, very discouraging. However, if you can recognize that it's a work of an unclean spirit, you're being attacked from the outside, okay, then the whole situation is different, see, in your mind. Because the fact is, we all have an old man. We all have a flesh nature, see, and our old man will never, ever change. Until you get a new body, you're going to have that old man there with all those old desires, and it's going to never change one bit. The sin nature is the same today as it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 40 years ago when you were first saved. It's never changed one bit, and it never will. You have changed. You have changed, but it hasn't. Okay? You have gotten a victory over many areas of that nature, but the nature itself remains the same. It cannot be changed. It cannot be reformed. It cannot be saved. Right? Therefore, when a desire that you have already conquered through the Spirit begins to be stirred up by an unclean spirit, you don't have to be depressed. Okay, you don't have to go just assume you've fallen off the wagon or something, backsliding. I mean, of course, that's possible. You got to check yourself, and that's got to show you. But it's not always the case. Quite often, it's just these spirits stirring up that kind of temptation for you because they want to depress you. Okay, and when that's the case, then you got to pick up your sword and you got to start fighting, start hacking away. Okay, and this is what you do it. You talk to that spirit. That's right. I said you talk to it. You're dealing with an invisible person. You're dealing with a living entity. Okay? You can't see or hear it. But I can tell you, it can see and it can hear you. So talk to it. All right? Tell it the jig's up and you know exactly what's going on and you're not going to fall for that trick. Then you got to renounce it and that desire it's stirring up in you in the name of Jesus. And I promise you, when you're in that kind of a fight, if you'll just fight the spirit that way, the battle will be yours. See, the only reason we lose many of these battles, people, is because we're fighting the wrong enemy and we're using the wrong weapons. And that comes from being taught error from all these teachers who will not acknowledge the truth about the demonic kingdom. When you're in that kind of battle, don't let any of these deceived ministers buffalo you with all their pontificating about how you're trying to avoid responsibility for your own sin and you're trying to blame everything on the devil and look for a demon under every rock and all that crap. All right? For crying out loud, when we're under a spiritual attack, it's not wrong to blame what's happening on the enemy, all right? I mean, blaming these spirits doesn't mean you're trying to blame everything on demons, all right? You're not denying, you're not denying that you still have a sin nature, are you? You're not denying that desire is still a part of you, right? You're simply relating to the situation the way it is, okay? That desire may still be part of you, since it still dwells in your flesh. But it's not you who stirred it up. It's not you who is desiring something you've been walking in victory over for months. It's a spirit that's stirring that thing up. And if you approach like that, you can win and you won't be depressed. All right? Now, these spirits can also, that's just bad desires, okay? These spirits can also utilize good desires to hinder us. And when I say a good desire, I'm not actually talking about a holy desire. I mean a natural desire that's okay. Like, natural desires that are part of everyday life. For example, you may need to change the oil in your car. Right? That's a natural duty of this life that's necessary from time to time, right? But maybe you haven't set an exact date or a time when you're going to change the oil in the car. Okay, and one day, the desire to get that job done, get out of the way, gets so strong, you just immediately go out there and do it. But while you're out there changing the oil, you miss an important phone call that was designed by the Lord to encourage you in the spirit or spiritually. All right, now what happened was, a spirit stirred up a good and proper desire in you at the wrong time. That's the wrong time for you. The wrong time for you, okay? In order to have you miss something God had for you. That's all. And if you think such a scenario is absurd, I'm sorry, friends, only because you don't know your enemy. It's because you're ignorant of his devices. Spirits pull this kind of stuff all the time on us. And they usually are successful more times than not because of our ignorance. Because of our ignorance. We don't know what Satan's devices are. When you were still going to church, I mean, a lot of you come out of the church system, okay? When you were still going to church in the religious system years ago, Sunday morning comes along, you're all dressed up. Did you ever have your car break down? Or did you ever lose your keys? Or did you ever have unexpected company? Or any number of things happen just before it came time to leave and go to church? But do you think all those things were just coincidence? I mean, don't you think supernatural beings who live and move in the supernatural realm can be the cause of these things at times? Now, I'm not saying everything that goes wrong is a demon, okay? I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying when something happens to hinder you from going somewhere the Lord wants you to go or being somewhere the Lord wants you to be, when something has hindered you from getting something the Lord has prepared for you, then yes, it's very possible a spirit was behind those events. I mean, what on earth do we think Paul was talking about when he said, quote, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices? 2 Corinthians 2? I mean, do we think Satan only has devices like persecution from unbelievers or something? Well, I don't know what people think, you know. Listen, Satan has all kinds of devices. He has an endless bag of tricks he uses to tempt us, to lure us away from something God has for us, to deceive us, to hurt us, to make us miserable, all right, to miss our call, miss some of our awards, miss our destiny. And it can all be done from the outside, friends. We're not even talking about indwelling demons yet. We haven't got to that point yet, okay? This is all done from the outside. Now, the problem with most of today's Christians is that they're still spiritual babies and children. And as such, they never consider the possibility that these kinds of hindrances could be spiritual attacks. They just assume all these things are part of natural life on earth. I mean, after all, people lose their keys all the time, don't they? Is it the work of demons every time someone loses their keys? Of course not. Certainly unclean spirits are not behind every occasion of lost keys. That's absurd. But it's not absurd to think they're behind a set of lost keys if you're a Christian and you're getting ready to go somewhere where God has ordained a blessing for you. All right? Or God has ordained something for you. It's not absurd to think that, I guarantee you. Secondly, even if you could convince them that at certain times spirits are the cause of hindrances we face, they still wouldn't take it seriously because they've been taught that if they walk in faith, God will take care of all those hindrances for them, regardless of their source. Okay, they've been taught that all you have to do is trust in God, and he will automatically override any desire that might lead you in the wrong direction. He'll automatically preempt any hindrance that might keep you from being where you're supposed to be, all right? And right here, see, is where things get a little complicated. They get a little complicated because the fact is, there's a lot of truth in that whole idea. When it comes to spiritual babies and children, that is. Okay? Because that's basically the way things do go when you're a baby Christian or a little child. You know, God doesn't expect babies and children to be able to discern what's going on behind the scenes all the time. Like he does young men and fathers. All right? He doesn't place the same level of responsibility on babies and children that he does on young men and fathers. He just doesn't. You're treated differently when you're a baby and a child. So when a baby Christian sneers at the whole idea of believers being responsible to watch for these kinds of devices, he has a good reason to do so, at least based on his own experience as a baby Christian or a child Christian, okay? See, I run this thing all the time, this kind of thing all the time. Whenever you start teaching God's people things that pertain to spiritual adulthood, okay, spiritual adulthood, whenever you begin serving them meat, the babies start choking and the children start flipping out and getting upset. Okay? The babies start choking, the children start getting upset. And they start screaming, legalism, or works-based religion, works-based religion. They whip out all their favorite verses and they get their key passages of scripture out. You know, and they accuse you of not believing in the faithfulness of God, or not believing in the sovereignty of God, or not believing in the power of God, or the love of God, and no, it goes, okay? But that's all right. God knows the situation of every believer. Okay, he knows where we are spiritually, and he knows where we should be spiritually. And he knows if it's okay for us to be or a spiritual child, because for many people it is. Okay? And it's okay to be a spiritual child if you're supposed to be one, if that's where God has you, if that's your age. All right? He also knows when it's time for us to grow up and move deeper into the things of the Spirit, and he knows just how to bring babies and children face to face with the truth. All right? And once they've been presented with the truth, then the whole situation changes. Now, they can choose to remain a baby, and they can choose to remain a child. They can choose to keep trying to relate to God as babies and children, but God will no longer accept that kind of thing. Once he has shown them the truth, the situation changes. From then on, they're going to begin to get in all kinds of spiritual trouble because God's no longer going to protect them the way he was just protecting them a minute ago. All right? The situation has changed. Now, they're walking in rebellion. Now, they're not spiritual babies and children because that's what they're supposed to be. That's what they should be. They're spiritual babies and children because they have rejected the truth. And the situation changes, and God changes how he deals with you. And if you're in that kind of situation, you're headed for deception and delusion. Because he starts lifting his protection off of your life. Now, before closing, it's getting late. Before closing, I just want to answer a question that some of those who are listening to this are bound to have, are bound to be asking them at this point. And the question is, you know, how in the world am I supposed to be able to recognize all these different tricks of Satan? And the answer is, it can only be done with the help and the discernment of the Holy Spirit. And I know that sounds like a religious cliche, but it's the truth. And it's the only answer there is. You're just going to have to trust me on this one. If you allow God to open your understanding in this area and start watching for the enemy's devices, then the Holy Spirit will be faithful to show you when these spirits begin to move against you or in your life. You'll know when something is a spiritual attack because there's going to be an inner witness regarding the situation. See, God's able to give us inner witnesses, but only if we're open to the truth. If your mind's blocked, if you believe in doctrines that don't allow that, you can't hear an inner witness. You can't feel witness of the truth, okay? But if your mind's open, if you're accepting the truth, and you got on the right track, then there's a witness there that God can move in you, okay? And you can feel the witness of the Spirit. The only reason Christians don't walk in this kind of reality and defeat the enemy is because they've been taught by deceived religious leaders that unclean spirits can't possibly do these kinds of things to them. God loves them too much, or God's sovereign, or what, you know, whatever. There's 100 doctrines out there, you know, that preclude the possibility of what I've just been talking about tonight happening to you. Now, when we accept the truth and we begin to watch for these things, and we're going to fight those things, that puts us in a place where God can start moving on our behalf, and he's going to start showing you things you've never seen before, right? But first, you have to believe the truth, and you got to act on it, all right? And once you do, the rest will come. It will come. I'm telling you, it's going to come easier than you think, because God is faithful, and God is sovereign, okay? God is all those things that just people say. And he's just waiting for us to pick up the battle, to pick up the sword, and go against his enemy. He'll be there, believe me, to help you win. Okay, now look, I'm going to end this here tonight because the next avenue we're going to look at is people. And it's an extremely important avenue. I don't want to have to rush through it. Except for the mind, the avenue of the mind, the avenue of people is the one these spirits use the most. Okay, because it's the most successful one. I mean, dedicated and serious Christians who have conquered these spirits in their own lives, have nevertheless been defeated by them as they work through the people around them. Okay, so this is a very important avenue, and I want to explain some things about how demons get to you through other people. Okay, and I don't want to rush through it tonight. It's going to take a little while, okay? So I'm going to end right here. If you're interested in hearing that, come on back next week, and I think we'll end it right here, okay? That's enough for tonight. So if anybody has anything you'd like to share, add to that, or questions, or anything like that, feel free to take the mic or text in whenever you want, whatever. I don't know if my father says we can bind. Can we bind? Yes, you can bind spirits from a distance if the Lord's telling you that. Now, there's a lot of error in the spiritual warfare teachings that are out there, okay? So eventually, I'll get to that error, what we can't do. But when you start messing with other people's lives, the thing you got to remember is they have a will. God will never override somebody's will, okay? So whenever you're talking to somebody else, trying to help somebody else, they must be on board. They must understand what's going on. They must know they're have spiritual problems, they must be with you. If they're on board, and if they're fighting themselves, then yes. Distance doesn't matter. The spirit realm has no distance, right? But whenever you're helping somebody else, you have their will you're dealing with, and that's a whole different subject, okay? Bind spirits? I don't know if they ever bound spirits. Jesus said you had to bind a strong man. Okay, so in that sense, yes, they did. Because Jesus did. He said you did. You had to bind a strong man, then the strong man can be, his house can be plundered. That's what he said. So yes, of course. But there's a lot of stuff being taught about binding and loosing. It's not God. Not scriptural. Right? It's revelation that comes from an Antichrist spirit. And it gets in there and tries to mess and ruin what God's doing with people. Alright, so we gotta be careful, but I'll get into that sooner or later. I'll get into that, the false stuff. Alright, right now, I'm just trying to emphasize how dangerous they are from the outside. You don't even have to have a demon. You don't have to be possessed. You know, people don't understand how dangerous these spirits are from the outside. They just don't get it. Okay. I know I never considered the enemy stealing thoughts as an attack. I've experienced it. Yes, amen. I know. Because you know, that's just the way it is. Our minds are blocked to these kinds of things because of all the doctrines they're floating around in there. You know, the demon can't do this, the devil can't do that, the devil can't touch you, can't cross the bloodline, all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, some of the doctrine out there is false. And who do you think it came from? It came from the devil to blind us to the truth so he could defeat us. That's a war tactic, man. That's a war tactic. I'm learning what all the enemy does. Okay, good. Good for you. And God will teach you. I mean, I can give you some pointers. I can give you some general principles. I can give you some general, you know, scriptures and give you a point to the right direction. But this has to come from the Holy Spirit, people. You've got to get into war and yield and lean on the Holy Spirit. Let him teach you how to battle. You know, Psalm says, it's God who teaches my hands to war. It's God who teaches my hands to war. And that's the way it has to be with every person. Every person is different. Every person's relationship with the Lord is different. Differently, the way, you know, these things. I mean, we can point out what's wrong and what's right as far as teachings and false doctrines and all that stuff. But God's got to teach you how to battle and war. And he will, if you just set your mind to it and get your mind oriented properly. But he can't talk to a blind mind. He can't talk to a stubborn mind. And he doesn't even try. That's why all these people are being defeated. Now, we have to know when it's the flesh and when it's the spirit, because sometimes it is the flesh. Sometimes you're being attacked by the flesh. But it's not the same kind of attack. All right? The flesh is not alive. It's just, you know, and it's not the same kind of strength. It is a battle to die to self every day. And, you know, James said, submit yourself to the Lord, resist the devil. Okay, submitting ourselves to the Lord is death to self. Resisting the devil is spiritual warfare. That's all there is to it. He said, he made just a very succinct thing in one little sentence. Submit to God, that's death to self. Resist the devil, that's spiritual warfare. That's how you win. We have an enemy, people. That's all. We have an enemy. And we have the power to defeat him. If we just get in the battle and start doing it. All right? Okay. Mama, the mama wants to say something. Hang on a second, guys. We have some more input here from the mama.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to say something. Brother Rich and Brother Bill had asked about me, and Holly Dog had asked about me in an email, and I just wanted to thank you all for thinking of me, and I just wanted to tell you I'm doing real good in Jesus. I wanted to share something the Lord made real to me this week. I don't think this is going along with Danny saying about growing up and pressing in. And it was a real blessing to me. I woke up one morning and the Lord made a scripture real to me. And as I read it and meditated, I felt the Holy Spirit spoke something to me. And it was in Matthew 20:20-23. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him, and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. It shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And I felt the Holy Spirit was pointing out the fact that Jesus said it wasn't his to give. It wasn't his to give. He was making the way for them to drink of the same cup he drank of and to be baptized with the same baptism he was baptized with. And he was making that way that if that was their desire, they could follow him in that. But it wasn't up to him to say who was going to sit on his right hand or on his left hand. The Father has prepared that place. The Father has prepared that place for whoever will press into it. And that was such a blessing that Jesus himself hasn't appointed anyone to sit on his right hand or his left hand. It's up to those who will pay the price and who will press in to that place. The Father has prepared the place, and it's up to us to press into it. And I just want to say a word of encouragement tonight to y'all. I was thinking this week that I wish I could say that I was all the years that I've served the Lord, I was as faithful to him as he has been to me, but I can't say that. But this one thing I can say, in spite of all the downfalls, in spite of getting off on little rabbit trails, in spite of a lack of wisdom, I can say, and we can all say this, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching toward those things that are before, we can press into the mark of for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that is a prize. And anyone that runs a race runs to obtain a prize. And Paul knew he was in a race. He said he doesn't beat against the air. He knew he was running a race. He knew he hadn't yet attained to it. And he knew that he hadn't been apprehended. He hadn't yet apprehended that thing for which God had apprehended him. In spite of preaching the gospel, starting churches, setting churches in order, being in prison and being beaten for the gospel's sake, Paul still knew that he hadn't attained to that. And he was still trying to apprehend that thing for which God had apprehended him. And that thing was a high calling. He was pressing in and pressing into that high calling. And, you know, I just want to encourage you tonight to just keep pressing in. Keep pressing in to that high calling, because there is a prize, and the one that wins a race will be the victors. So that's all I had to say. It was a blessing to me this week. And also, there was another scripture he made real to me about, is in Acts 14:22. We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And I was thinking of that today, of the tribulation that's ahead of us, the great tribulation. And I thought of Corrie ten Boom, how when she was in that prison camp, she was in a Nazi prison camp for hiding Jews from the Gestapo. And she must have felt that she was in the great tribulation. And yet she could say, no pit is so deep that God is not deeper. And whatever we have to face in the future, let's always remember that no pit is too deep that God is not deeper. And that's all I wanted to say. And it will be worth it all. Sissy, I wanted to say to you, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Shalom.
All righty. Well, anybody else have anything? We shut her down. Last call. Glad you all came. And I guess we'll see you next week. God willing, the river don't rise.